life gets messy. Spills, stains, and kid chaos. But with Anabe, cleaning up is easy. Our sofas are fully machine washable, inside and out, so you never have to stress about messes again. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, that means fewer stains and more peace of mind. Designed for real life, our sofas feature changeable fabric covers, allowing you to refresh your style anytime. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa effortlessly. Perfect for cozy apartments or spacious homes. Plus, they're earth-friendly and built to last. That's why over 200,000 happy customers have made the switch. Get early access to Black Friday pricing right now. Sofas start at just $699. Visit washablesofas.com now and bring home a sofa made for life. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Gregory Copley, the editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. 1 year since the U.S. and NATO left Afghanistan, a catastrophe. The accounting since then, what we have from reporting by NGOs, by the United Nations, by the World Food Bank, is half the country is at risk of famine or more or worse. We also have routine stories now of persecution of women, not only being driven out of their jobs, out of their livelihoods, out of schools, but also into their homes and brutalized by the roving bands calling themselves security by the Taliban. We also have reports of 4 out of 5, some very large number, of people who worked with NATO or with the U.S. or with the U.N. or some other worthy organization these last 20 years being persecuted. And we have the death of Zawahiri in Afghanistan, suggesting as a guest of the Taliban that the Taliban is in no way honoring its remarks. I know that's a strange word. Agreeing to its remarks in the negotiation that it would not harbor al-Qaeda. It's 1 year later. And Gregory, I add to that the complication in the subcontinent of 75 years since the partition. Pakistan is always understood as a driver of the Afghanistan Taliban, the ISI. At the same time, the Pakistani Taliban is a threat to the regime, which itself is fragile. A recent change in the leadership of the prime minister has not in any way solved the Pakistan problems. They're out of time, out of money, and they need about everything, and they're also suffering a heat wave. So lessons learned from Afghanistan and lessons learned from Pakistan. Have we seen, do we have anything in here that the next time we're drawn into this region, whether it's the British Empire, the Russian Empire, the American Empire, we won't make the same mistakes? Thank you.
A complicated situation, but the reality is that we've learned next to nothing from in the period since the partition of the Indian subcontinent after World War II, and we've learned very little since the withdrawal of U.S. and NATO forces from Afghanistan a year ago. And mind you, the lessons which needed to be learned were quite apparent after 9/11, in other words, more than 20 years ago, when the U.S. should have known what it was going after when it went into Afghanistan and failed to create, if you like, strategic goals and ended up getting into a conflict which was not just about, quote, regime change, but also about changing the nature of Afghanistan itself, as though that were the job of the United States or the West. The reality is that if we believe in sovereignty and in the rights of nations to self-determination, then yes, we had in the West a right to respond to attacks from a government and a country, but we didn't have, if you like, the right or the common sense to go in and try and change the manner of people's lives in that country. So the United States went in with and developed a mission which had all of the hallmarks of disaster from day one, and there was no learning of lessons as they went through those 20 or more years of presence there. what we have seen since the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan was that by the nature of that withdrawal, the U.S. lost more than the $84 billion worth of defense equipment, which it abandoned in Afghanistan. It lost Central Asia. Central Asia, which had been the five states there, had been depending on the West and the United States in particular to be its bulwark against their former dependence on either Russia or the People's Republic of China. They had been developing a plan to export down through Afghanistan and Pakistan to the Indian Ocean so that they didn't have to rely on Russia and China for imports and exports. And that was going pretty well until the Biden administration abandoned all of that policy, which had been developed during the Trump administration. Now, the Russians have since surged back into Central Asia, hoping not to reclaim the Central Asian states as part of the Russian Empire, but literally as subordinate states which must kowtow to Moscow if they're to survive. And the Central Asian states are resisting that. And the West's salvation, if you like, in this new East-West Cold War, which is underway, has got to be to have that giant wedge up into the Eurasian Central Heartland between Russia and the People's Republic of China. So the U.S. still has that vested interest in Central Asia and has to find a way back in there. It wasted vast amounts of treasure and people and time over the last 22 years and now has to find a way back in when the U.S. itself lacks the resources and finances needed to do the job.
It was a revelation to me, Gregory. We've both traveled in Central Asia over these last years. Revelation to me that this region of the world dates back 2,000-4,000 years of city-states with great accomplishments in culture and art and science, especially in science, and that Kabul was one of those city-states that was integrated into the trade routes. I don't recall any time in the last 20 years, and I have been reporting on the story, that that was important to any of the administrations that were fine with war fighting in the region, but did not recognize the ability of these countries to think of themselves as an integrated primary civilization. Tashkent, and I'm thinking especially of Tashkent, but also we have to include the South Caucasus and Azerbaijan. And it's a puzzle whether that is part of an answer the next time this region draws in Western powers or military authority, that this cannot be treated as individual states that have trouble, that what we're looking at is a community that is the product of thousands of years of heritage and background and ability to move between each other's capital cities, large cities. Is that in any fashion important to the people in Washington or the people in London, because they were involved in this more than 150 years ago? Did they look at the fact that it'd be like making war in a town in Texas and ignoring New York and Florida?
Well, absolutely. And look, we've been looking at the People's Republic of China's attempts to reconstruct the Great Silk Road and you know, the various modes of Silk Road, the Maritime Silk Road or the Trans-Eurasian Silk Road and so on. And they understood what they were doing. Russia and Britain knew what they were doing. They had the Great Game, which has not yet finished. And so they understood the linkages which were critical to all of this. India has inherited Britain as part of the Great Game. They understand the critical importance of linking everything through Central Asia and the like. But the United States instead persisted and delighted in playing the small game and continues to do so because it doesn't want to focus on grand strategy. It wants to focus on grand tactics, if you like. And this is, enormously frustrating because it means that now that the United States no longer has the guarantee of global domination, which it had during the Cold War period, it now has to rebuild its global position. And it has to do that by understanding strategy. And nobody in Washington cares to do that. They pay lip service to it, but they don't understand the linkages, and nor do they trust their, if you like, their client states, whether it was Afghanistan or Pakistan or India, or for that matter, their close allies like Australia and the United Kingdom. And so there's going to have to be a changing mindset if the US is going to do any kind of strategic reset to get itself back into shape before it even gets under the quote reset it was promising with its opponents and competitors.
Gregory Copley, the editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. We're headed to Africa, to Ethiopia. There's famine in North Africa, and there's news of grain leaving the Black Sea Basin for Ethiopia. But in the meantime, there's an ongoing civil war in this whole region. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
We track so many things in our lives. Trending podcasts, playlists, even your favorite artist's next album release. It's time for an easy way to track your glucose. Meet Stelo, the powerful glucose biosensor available without a prescription that tracks glucose 24/7 to reveal how food, exercise, and even sleep can affect your glucose, helping you become a healthier you. Join the personal health revolution today at Stelo.com.
At the beginning of a busy morning with school drop-offs and commuting looming large, it could feel like you'll drive halfway across Ohio. For fuel rewards members at Shell, that running around translates into savings at the pump. Earn rewards on fuel, snacks, dining out, and more. Earn 10 cents per gallon off when you reach platinum status with opportunities to stack rewards for even more savings. Visit fuelrewards.com/join25 and sign up today. At participating merchants and Shell locations, limit 20 gallons. Restrictions apply. Visit fuelrewards.com for more information.
Love the night? Reach for Zin After Dark, a limited cocktail-inspired series for those who get up when the sun goes down. Try Zin's Mojito, Spiced Cider, and Espresso Martini nicotine pouches. Find them at select retailers, available while supplies last. Zin After Dark. Bring on the night. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.